Well, there's a little outline which you can follow along with, but it'd be good to have the passage open as well. Our 2 Timothy series that we've started is called Guardians of the Gospel, a wonderful play on words from the Marvel movie, from the genius that is Craig. I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. 2 Timothy has this strong theme of guarding the gospel, protecting it. But how do you actually go about doing that? How do we protect the gospel? Particularly when it feels like there are attacks happening against Christianity all the time. The public perception of Christianity and some of the positions we hold seem to be like viewed as purely negative and even hateful by many. And sadly, some of the attacks on the gospel are coming from within the church, as some sideline key truths for the sake of unity or acceptance from the world. So how do we defend the gospel? Is it through letters to the local MP to say we need to defend free speech? Or is it engaging in the culture wars as we see those people involved in public debates all over the place? Maybe it's we need to sort out some big meetings between key Christian groups to come up with some sort of coordinated battle plan or strategy. Or maybe engaging in the pinnacle of all public debate, arguments in the Facebook comment section. Defending the gospel, guarding it from the attacks that are coming, seems like too big a task, doesn't it? An impossible battle to fight, especially for us here today. Best off leaving it to the big wigs. Well, in our passage today, Paul tells Timothy to guard the gospel, the precious gospel. Instead of hiding it away, like we might do with other precious things, what Paul tells him about protecting the gospel is actually far more ordinary than we might think. Something I think we can all be involved in. Now, this passage, of course, builds on last week's passage where Paul is telling us that people are being ashamed of the gospel, the gospel that Paul's preached and is now in prison for. Paul had told Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel, and now he moves on to tell Timothy to guard the gospel. And so the first thing he tells him in order to guard the gospel is to stick with the truth. Chapter 1, verse 13. What you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. To guard the gospel, Paul firstly wants Timothy to stick with the gospel that he has heard from him. This pattern of sound teaching, the good deposit. Paul wants Timothy to stick with the gospel and to stick closely to it. That's what Paul means when he says, keep to the pattern of my teaching. Timothy shouldn't be seeking to adjust it or relax it or leave tricky bits out. He should uphold the correct standard of the teaching. Uphold the truth with a high degree of accuracy. Timothy's to stick to the true gospel that Paul preached and not wander from it. Because people will always be tempted to adjust the gospel or to wander from it, to go towards something that's more acceptable, more palatable. Remember that this gospel truth had got Paul thrown into prison and abandoned. Verse 15, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. People have distanced themselves from Paul, distanced themselves from the shame that he's bearing, distanced themselves from his message. Sticking with the truth costs. So people will always be tempted to change the standard, to lower it, to avoid the shame and hardship that comes from sticking with the truth. And sadly, I think we've seen that all too much. A few years ago, I think with the same-sex marriage debate, people were changing standards to seem acceptable to the rest of the world. Or today, in a slightly different way, the kind of feel-good gospel that we see around the place. A gospel that really sounds like the Christian version of a self-help guru or motivational speakers. You know, like, back yourself, minimize negativity, maintain a positive attitude, be accepting. It all sounds very nice, doesn't it? But it leaves out the challenges of the true gospel that calls us to pick up our cross and follow Christ. Though it's nice and acceptable in the world, that kind of feel-good gospel. So to guard the gospel, We need to ensure that we're holding fast to the true gospel, the gospel that Paul taught, the gospel that we have in our Bibles, with all its hard and uncomfortable bits, with all the things it reveals about how we're not really as good as we'd like to think, about how it calls on us to change the way we live, even if that change is not something that the world admires or even understands. And part of what sticking with the truth looks like for us, I think, is being discerning. There is so much Christian teaching around. Timothy had what he heard from Paul, one source, nice and easy, but we have, for good and for ill, a huge amount of Christian content. Books, podcasts, sermons, conferences. And so I think we need to be discerning in what we're listening to, in what we're reading. So how do we do that? Check it against the Bible is the first obvious one. Does what you're hearing fit with what the Bible says? Have the people who are teaching, have they treated the Bible that they're teaching in, are they teaching it with care, sticking to that pattern of sound teaching? Maybe you feel like, oh, it's a bit too tricky for me. Well, who can you ask, ask a trusted friend about what they think of the teaching, a Christian friend, not just some random friend. Ask your growth group leaders, some of the pastors here at church, mature Christians who you trust, ask them their opinion on it. I think in the midst of all the Christian information out there, we need to be discerning to help us stick with that true gospel. To guard the gospel, we first stick with the true gospel. Next, to guard the gospel, we entrust it to others. Verse 2 of chapter 2. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul not only wants Timothy to stick with the truth, but he wants him to raise up others who can do the same thing. Notice these four groups in that one verse. There's Paul, who passed it to Timothy, who's to pass it to reliable men, who are to pass it to others as well. We see this chain of gospel transmission, four generations long, just in that one verse. And as we remember what's going on in Rome with Paul, the call to raise up more faithful leaders makes a lot of sense. There are false teachers around that Paul's warning Timothy about, and everyone's abandoned him. There were lots of fair weather teachers who've gone. And so Timothy is to find reliable people. People who will stick with the truth and can be trusted to pass it on too. Now in the context, I think Paul is telling Timothy to raise up pastors. But the principle of what he's asking is actually something that we are all involved with. The way to guard the gospel is that all Christians be involved in passing the gospel on to others. Which, when you think about it, is actually quite a simple and ordinary thing to do. It's like passing on a trade. A trade was passed on one person to the next. The apprentice learned all the key things about, like, for example, making furniture. And they did so alongside the carpenter. They did the job together. The carpenter advising, correcting, encouraging, teaching. And I think this is similar to how Paul pictures this in trusting to happen. It's passing on the truth to the people that God has put in our lives. So to guard the gospel, we should be passing the gospel on to others. Teaching them, advising them, correcting them, encouraging them. And there are loads of different ways that this plays out for us. Here are three ways for us to consider this. Firstly, an obvious one, with our children, or the children in our lives. As those who are parents, those who are kids and youth ministry leaders, those who teach SRE, or just as we have children in our lives, whether it be in your families or family friends or here at church, there are opportunities to pass the true gospel onto them. And as time comes, preparing them to pass it on to others through evangelism, or including them in teaching moments, encouraging them in opportunities to serve others. Through our children. Second, we can be passing on the gospel by mentoring others. We're a church made up, thankfully, of many mature and well-taught Christians. And many of us have had the privilege of being invested into by others. And now it's our turn to do the same. Who can you be entrusting the gospel to? Who can you be walking alongside in their Christian walk? Reminding them of the gospel, encouraging them to stick with the truth, correcting them where it's needed, modelling what it looks like to follow Jesus, and then getting them to do the same with others. Who can we be mentoring? Well, perhaps you feel like this is, thirdly, you might feel like this is actually a bit beyond you at the moment. The Bible's still pretty new, you find it hard to teach, you know, and not all are able to teach. And so not all should be involved in this kind of teaching stuff. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be involved. How can you be supporting others as they entrust the gospel? Student ministers come through our church. We're in a Tane at the moment. There was another great one a few years ago. Wasn't me. It's Joe Poon, I think. Anyway, he hugged Craig. Can you believe it? It's all right. Still bitter. Student ministers come through our church. Can we be financially supporting them so that they can be entrusted to take the gospel out and give it to others? Or supporting those in our church community and outside our church community who are seeking to do this? Like maybe providing logistic support for our youth and kids ministry so that the leaders can focus on teaching the gospel. Or supporting our gospel partners who serve all over the country and the world as they do that. We all have a part to play. We guard the gospel by entrusting it to the people in our lives, who will in turn entrust it to others. Finally, we guard the gospel by preparing for hard yards. Verse 3 of chapter 2. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now again, this is not the first time this idea has come up in 1 Timothy. Back in chapter 1, Paul called Timothy to join with him in suffering, to endure hardship with him. You see, the gospel will bring suffering and hardship. Paul, as we know, is in prison writing this. So he tells Timothy, be prepared for the hardship. And Paul gives these three different illustrations to fill in what it looks like for Timothy to endure hardship. The first one is the soldier. Verse 4. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. A soldier's work is hard. They're taken away from family to difficult situations and they endure tough work. One of the members of my growth group is in the army and we asked him for an example of the hard work and he told us about a soldier who he personally ordered. He didn't personally order. He sent an order down the line to clean the latrines, which is kind of gross, and he did it with diesel. So we've got some tough stains in the toilet. Diesel's the way to go, I think. It's a hard job, but they do those kinds of hard things because they're focused on the mission. They're there to do a particular job. And they don't want to be distracted from that mission as they think about the distracted by the everyday things from at home. Instead, they focus on doing the hard jobs they're given to please their commanding officer, the one who's leading them in the mission. Our commanding officer is Jesus. And his mission is the gospel mission, seeing the message go out. So Timothy is to endure the hard work like a soldier and focus on Jesus' mission, rather than all the other things he could be distracted by. In fact, in chapter 4, verse 10, we see that a guy called Demas has deserted Paul because he loved the things of this world. An example of someone being distracted from the gospel because of the things of the world. So we too need to keep that greater mission of Jesus in the front of our minds so we don't get distracted and instead endure in the hard work, focused on the mission. It's the soldier. Second, the athlete. Verse 5. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The athlete must compete according to the rules if they're to receive their reward and not get disqualified. Consider like the Olympic athlete's life. Not only do they need to follow the rules at the moment of competition, but in all the time that leads up to that moment. The years of discipline that come before they're out in front of the bright lights, hard training, eating right, staying away from those performance-enhancing drugs, sleeping well, and on and on and on. When it talks about rules here, what it's saying is what is expected for those who compete as athletes, both at the moment of competition and before. What Paul's saying is it requires discipline to do what is expected. And in this context, I think that Paul is saying that Timothy needs to be disciplined in his gospel task in the midst of this hardship that he will endure. He must stick with the truth, both in his teaching and in his godly life, not taking the easy way out. No steroids. But in his case, no false teaching, no moral relaxation, rather being disciplined in preaching and living the truth. We too know that we must be disciplined in the way that we live our lives and stick to the truth. We know that in life there'll be many things that try to tempt us away from this right path. Temptations to lower the standard, to loosen our moral standards, to relax our godliness. That's not the way of the gospel athlete. The third illustration is the farmer. Verse 6, the hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. The farmer is another favourite of Paul's, isn't it? The picture here is of the farmer who toils, who strives, who perseveres in the task. It's hard work. Farmers have those massive, rough hands, don't they? But this hard, enduring work will be rewarded. It will be worth it. When those crops grow and they produce their harvest, the farmer gets to enjoy them. Timothy's to work hard at his gospel work, even though it will be tough, and the encouragement is that he knows his reward is coming. It will be worth it. The Lord Jesus comes to bring a great gospel harvest. And so we too should endure in our gospel work, knowing that a reward will come. It will be worth it. Now, as I was thinking about these verses and these illustrations that Paul gives, and considering our context, I think they speak quite powerfully to us in our moment. It's been a hard few years, hasn't it, with COVID? The lockdowns, the whole school, homeschooling, eventually getting COVID, and now we've got a bumper flu and cold season on top of that. We're all exhausted, aren't we? Physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I get the sense that we're all just kind of hanging in there, waiting things to sort of settle down and get easier. And then we can get back to life as normal, pick up the things we've put to the side. I mean, that's how I'm thinking. That's certainly what I've said to people as well. But in our passage and with these examples, Paul is telling Timothy that the Christian life is hard. And yet in the midst of this, he's to focus on the tough mission like a soldier, not getting distracted by worldly concerns. He's to be disciplined in the ways that he lives that mission, like an athlete, following in Jesus and what he wants, not letting his godliness or his teaching slide. He's to endure the hard work with the perseverance and the patience of a farmer, toiling in the work, but also knowing that the work will be worth it. And I think earlier in the passage, Onesiphorus, or Onesiphorus, however you say that guy's name is the great example of this, isn't he? Enduring hardship in the gospel mission, bearing the shame as he searched for Paul. He searched hard for Paul to find him, to care for him. The Christian life is hard. And is it really all that different from how we're feeling now? I wonder if we're wanting things to be nice and easy, and then when we've caught our breath, that's when we can get back on board with Jesus' mission. When we can focus again on the mission, be more disciplined in our godliness, put our hand back to the till. But I think what I've realized as I've been thinking about this is that time is not going to come. Life's not going to suddenly make serving Jesus a walk in the park. Now, while life may, there is still time, I think, for life to get back to normal. The tiredness we feel actually at the moment is abnormal. We've just come through a pandemic. But there will never be an easy time to jump back on board the gospel mission bus. We just need to do it. To endure in hardship with Paul and Timothy as good soldiers of Christ. And so we must mentally steel ourselves for the task. Be prepared for the hard yards of the gospel mission. We guard the gospel as we get on the bus and do the work, the hard work. So let's get back on the bus. And I know this seems so overwhelming, particularly when we're all feeling exhausted, but we don't do it by ourselves. God gives us strength and empowers us for this. Verse 14 of chapter 1. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is, be strengthened by God in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember, this is God's mission. He's not going to fail at it. And so he will give us the strength we need to endure the hardship that comes with guarding the gospel. Ultimately, I hope we've seen that guarding the gospel is actually a very ordinary work. What does Paul tell us to do? To guard the gospel, we need to stick with the true gospel given to us in the scriptures. We need to seek to pass it on to others so that they can pass it on to others again. And endure in the midst of the hardships that come with that task. It's not all that complex, is it? And really, it sounds like the Christian life more generally, doesn't it? We don't need to win the culture wars to guard the gospel. We don't need to be in control of big government decisions. You don't even need to win arguments on Facebook. We simply need to live our Christian lives, holding fast to the true gospel, and then tell others about Jesus, preparing them to do the same. It's not rocket science. And I think if we consider our own lives, we sort of know that. Think, who are those who passed the gospel on to you? I suspect that they were ordinary people who are seeking to live for Jesus day by day. And they taught you about Jesus, encourage you to do the same. Guess what? We're those kinds of ordinary people too. Guarding the gospel is not something that is outside our ability or reach. It's part of living the gospel life. So let's get on and do it. Let me pray for us in light of that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the true gospel in your scriptures. We thank you for all those who passed it on to us. We ask that you would help us guard the gospel by sticking with the truth, even when it is unpopular. Help us to pass it on to others that the gospel might continue to go forth. And help us to be prepared for the hardships that come and help us to endure them. Father, after the last few years, we are feeling weary. So please give us your strength to do this. Amen.